full of surprises. I declare the meeting open, and we begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and we still respect their elders, past and present. I advise everyone that the audio of the meeting is being taped, subject to technological capacity. And you can find it on the City of Marion website. I ask elected members if they wish to foreshadow a declaration of interest in respect of any item on the agenda. Councillor Appleby.
Thank you, Worship. In relation to the Oaklands crossing item, my brother owns property on Diagonal Road, so I declare a perceived conflict of interest. I'll stay for that item and deal with it in an open and transparent manner based on its merits.
Thank you. That'll be noted. Thank you. Councillor Byram.
Application for DAP.
Is that a question to Ms. Dixon? So there's a solar garage going to be built. Well, the thing is, the decision tonight has nothing to do with the planning merits or application in respect of the matter, so I can't imagine how. Councillor Hutchinson?
I would add to that is that when we're able as DAP members and council members to, as a council, to make decisions that might end up in the DAP, but when we're in the DAP, we're wearing a different hat, so we're actually, there's not an issue even with this one, so.
Agreed. Anyone else? Then we'll keep going. Would someone like to move that the minutes be confirmed of the last general council meeting? That's moved, Councillor Hull, seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously, thank you. We go straight to a deputation. And I'd like to ask Mr. Maxwell to come forward. Mr. Maxwell's a prime organiser behind the Trailblazer by the Sea fundraising event run by a Rotary Club or various Rotary Clubs. And there's a report tonight basically to give permission, subject to conditions, for the event to be run in the Hallett Cove area. So, Mr. Maxwell, you have a maximum of 5 minutes, including questions, but if you'd like to just give us an outline of the event, but for specifically how it relates to that part of our council coastal trail. Thank you.
Event director of Trailblazer by the Sea. We've been running Trailblazer events for over 15 years now, but in the last 3 years, we've made it a coastal event, which extends all the way from Semaphore down to Hallett Cove. There are various links, and the only people who take part in the section between Seacliff and Hallett Cove are people running almost 50 kilometres. It's an ultra, and that makes it an ultra-marathon because it's not just run on the road, it's run on beaches, and it's run on sections such as the Marion Coastal Walk. I'm here basically to request that an administrative decision to not allow us to do it this time be overturned, and the administration has offered three options, and in reverse order those are basically to confirm the rejection of the application. The other one was to redirect us via an inland route so that we didn't use the Marion Coastal Walk, and that rather defeats the object of an ultra marathon and having a coastal walk. And the first option offered, which is basically for approval, subject to conditions. And I would like to talk through that because basically it covers all the points that I think need covering. And with one fairly minor exception, we can agree with it. And I'd just like to go through it quickly, please. I'll just go through the dot points that have been set out.
Page 31 of your agenda, members, if you wish. Please,
The first dot point is a pre-event inspection by event organisers within 7 days of the event taking place to identify hazard risks to the event participants. That's totally agreeable, and the Trailblazer Committee has undertaken to do this on all previous events. We have done this. And just very quickly, I would like to say that I've actually got copies of what I'm reading here. So if I just quickly pass them to the nearest councillor, perhaps they can... It might just help. It's in writing what I'm talking about, basically. The next dot point is identified hazards to be appropriately cordoned off and for the event participants to be informed of such hazards, such as placing cones and or signage prior to the hazard. And I've written, agreed. However, we would restrict our warnings to signage and a pre-start briefing with, if necessary, printed additions to the course directions. We hand out booklets with the course directions and safety notices and things like that. As course director, I'm very reluctant to start cordoning off other people's property. So if we were required to do that, I would want to do it in conjunction with council administration. So basically what we can do off our own bat is provide warnings, provide signage, and briefings. We're reluctant to provide cordoning without on our own. The next dot point is the event participants to be advised to not deviate from the trail so as not to damage sensitive vegetation. Agreed. And that will be included in the printed course instructions. And I've already included it in our own risk assessment checklist. That the checkpoints throughout this part of the course are appropriately resourced to support event participants. Agreed. We are very, very, very highly safety conscious. On this section, which extends from Seacliff through to Hallett Cove, we have Surf Life Saving Club at Seacliff with its first aid volunteers, qualified first aid volunteers. They also send a team up to the end of the section, which is just outside the Hallett Cove Conservation Park at the southern end of the course. And we also have a mobile team on the course. All participants entering the coastal trail are required to carry mobile phones and so are able to summon assistance if needed. And we believe that our event makes the Marion Coastal Walk safer for the public on the day because of the amount of care that we're taking with our own people.
Mr. Maxwell, I'm sorry to say that your 5 minutes is up.
Thank you.
Can you briefly say, do you agree with the final two dot points that are there as well?
The final two dot points, the appropriate signage, I agree with. The revised risk assessment, I think, is totally unnecessary because it's covered by the first two dot points. And it would further delay us. If we had to keep on coming back to the administration to resolve things, it defeats the objective of this evening, which I hope is to come to a decision. So I would say that I have asked for the final dot point to be deleted.
Well, thank you for your explanation. Only if members have any very pressing questions. No, well, I think we'll thank you at this point, Mr. Maxwell, and you can resume your place in the gallery. As is our custom, when we have deputations, we often try and bring the matters forward, and so I would ask if I have leave of the meeting to now deal with the Trailblazer by the Sea item, and is there any objection? No, then we can deal with it. So I move to that item, which is on page 29, and I'll look to Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, and I would like to move that we endorse option one with the event conditions but eliminating the final event condition.
Very well. Perhaps we could put in brackets without the need for a revised risk assessment.
Yes.
And then
yes.
That's about as clear as you could be, because the other conditions would be contained in the report. So I'll just ask if it's seconded. Councillor Gard is willing to do that. Back to you, Councillor Byram, if you'd like to speak to it.
Yes, I think this is a terrific event, and it is a good area that it's running through. I don't think we're going to see hordes of people at any one time gathered together. It's the end of the 50 kilometres, and so that they'll be stretched out. I don't see that as a problem or with us actually running this event, so I do support it.
Councillor Gard.
Certainly I support it, being the lone Coastal Ward councillor here tonight. It is an exciting event. It'll be great for our locals. It'll be great for people that aren't our locals. I think the main thing about all of this is that the organisation be commonsensical. There's a lot you can do to put up red tape for these sorts of things. And undoubtedly there are areas of importance that must be considered, and I would expect our administration to work very amicably with the trailblazing people to make that happen. My main consideration was something that Councillor Byram just mentioned, that is crowd control, or the possibility of crowds, be at the end of the race or not. It's hard if you're not conversant with how these events come together to predict just what the crowd situation might be. To me, as local ward councillor, my greater concern is the public, because I would expect that the contestants would be very ably administered.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Question, Councillor Hunt?
Mr. Mayor, when I first saw this, I thought Trailblazer by the Sea was actually Councillor Gard, but it's turned out to be something quite different.
Well, I first thought it was going to be the new name of Marion Council. But anyway, no, keep going. What was the question?
Look, with risk assessments, they need not be involved documents. There's a matrix that you use. I'm just wondering whether the Council can assist. It gives some expertise. Sit down, go through the metrics, tick them off.
Councillor Hull, in a sense, is the essence of the conflict. As they have in previous years, the Rotary Club has done a risk assessment, done everything they could to make it safe. Council staff have done a risk assessment and say, no, we've approved it before, but we're not going to approve it this year. So sitting down together, perhaps after this council meeting, can be done in a common sense way, but... It's that divergence which has brought us to this point.
You've answered my question. Thank you.
Councillor Appleby speaking against?
No, just a question.
Yes.
Does our insurer have any issue with this? Have we consulted with them?
I should point out the Rotary Club has extensive public liability insurance in relation to it, but can staff advise whether there's any view from the... what are they called, local government risk mutual liability scheme?
Through the Chair, yes, we have been in contact with our insurers, the scheme. They confirmed they were happy with this approach. As long as we're identifying the risks, working to mitigate the risks, then they were comfortable with it progressing.
Good question. Councillor Blesko. Got Ms. Byrne coming up to answer that. I can say from having viewed the correspondence myself that the main reason given was that since the event was last run, more or less a year, or not quite a year ago, there's been further erosion from rains during the last few months, and therefore the path was thought to be less safe. And I know my response to that was that on a sunny day in spring, you're going to have 50 people walking along that path anyway. in its current state. But anyway, Ms. Byrne can perhaps add to that.
Okay, so to answer your first question through the chair, is we have, I guess, declined the permit this year because we've actually improved significantly our special event permit process, and also we've improved in the areas of asset management and our city property. So that is why it was declined this year. So just overall, from a pure effectiveness point of view, we have were more informed, and also additionally with the erosion which occurred last year in a particularly wet year. And sorry, can you repeat the second question?
The second question was, if we do without the revised risk assessment as suggested by staff, would that have an impact, do you think, on the mutual liability scheme's view of the event?
Okay, so we worked considerably close with the event organiser to offer an alternate route and work through the different risks. So I guess we were always open to that, but upon, you know, we can continue to work through to mitigate the risk, so yes. And
other questions, Councillor Pryor? Anyone can be walking along it right now in the dark if they want to. Ms. Byrne, should we be closing the path?
Well, in the report, through the chair, in the report, that is some, not, I don't think we need to close the park. I think we do need to get some direction from council about whether you would consider council's position on actually having events, not the recreational walker, but some the event.
Ms. Dixon's going to add something.
Through the chair, I think that's a question we all came to. If it's open to the public now, why not allow the event? What's the risk in this is the, you know, having a condensed number of people using it and, you know, pounding, running up and down the stairs. What I would also say is what we, in doing the risk assessment, we're always open and provided that offer to work with the event organisers to look at the risks, find appropriate mitigations and allow the event to go forward. And that's what's been worked through over the last couple of weeks, and what's presented tonight allows that to go ahead with appropriate risk controls in place.
And Councillor Pryor, you'll see from the photographs in the report that staff have gone to great lengths to highlight the risks of the trail, and no doubt that'll be quite valuable supporting information for ward councillors who might want to seek funding for improvements to the trail. Any other questions, Councillor Blescu? Councillor Blescu, I take full responsibility for that, because when staff refused for the event to go ahead, Mr. Maxwell wrote to me, and I took the view that the common sense approach would be to allow the event to go ahead with certain safeguards, and I said this will need to be decided by council. I wasn't going to have a stand-up fight with council staff about risk assessment. I felt it needed to come to council because there was a yes and there was a no, and that needed to be resolved by the whole group. So I take responsibility for that. I think you've heard tonight that we're getting better at refusing special events. So it's a part of a continual performance improvement process. Any other questions? I'll put motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Thanks, Ms. Byrne, as well. Let's go next to the solar garage at Tonsley project. Now, I understand we have one or two proponents of the project with us. So, minutes. I'll come back to them later. Please remind me. Would you gentlemen like to come forward to the front in case members have any questions? The proposal is briefly outlined on page 46 of our agenda. Perhaps rather than a formal deputation, it might be better just to have a question and answer session since the project is outlined in our agenda. So I have been given a couple of names: Professor Rocco Zito, Professor and Head of Civil Engineering, School of Computer Science, Engineering, Mathematics from Flinders University, and Mr. Craig Norris, National PHEV Sales Manager from Mitsubishi Motors, PHEV being electric vehicles, essentially. So I'd invite questions from councillors. Councillor Hull.
Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you for coming. It's, your arrival here is foreshadowing change, tremendous and wonderful change. And I have some questions about it which actually lead into where all this is going. Mr. Mayor, only recently I noticed the Burnside Shopping Centre, Tesla charging stations, Fox Creek Winery in Macaramba, electric car charging station. It's happening. So, and I would like to be involved in the stewardship of the introduction of this, but where I'm going with the question, Mr. Mayor, is that in terms of fairness and equity going forward, beyond this, you have my support tonight, I want to make that clear. Beyond this, in terms of, if you've got an electric car, you're doing fine, because a Tesla is, what, $130,000? A Nissan Leaf, $50,000? I don't know, something like that. Mitsubishi Miev, not that cheap either. And what I'm getting at is, in terms of fairness and equity, a lot of our people can't afford an electric car. It will be years before they will be. Where I'm leading with this question is, in terms of electric charging station, who pays? Is there a plan for equity of this? I guess there's the broader question about contribution to our roads as well, because electric car drivers, and me to a lesser effect, owning a Prius,
Councillor
using
Hull,
less fuel, are not contributing to the upkeep of our roads.
Bringing it to a head, it's the cost for the consumer who plugs in his car at the point. Is that the question?
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, I want to support this tonight. I want to make that clear.
Well, the support can come in the debate. The question can come now. So the question is, what do people pay if they hook up to the Bowser or whatever it is at the solar garage?
So the charge for the solar garage, the solar garage has a 5-year life, and there'll be no charge for that 5 years.
But beyond that,
okay. So you're asking a transport planner, will we be owning cars in 5 years? Passenger vehicles are only one part of our transport system. This has all come to a head due to a research grant that I've got. Actually looking at last mile public transport. So we are going to have if we get to the presentation, a driverless shuttle. It will be a fully electric shuttle at Tonsley. So public transport applications and public transport using fully electric power is also a way of the future, as will passenger vehicles will be, as with different ownership models of transport. So when we start looking to the future, we shouldn't just limit ourselves to people owning cars, because I think that ownership model is going to change.
Further questions?
Yes, I echo Councillor Hull's comments 100%. Also his concerns about consumer costs down the track. I'm interested in, because you must have done a fair bit of homework on on demands here. I'm interested to get an understanding for the sake of the City of Marion at large as to how much in spread we are likely to need for such stations, because in approving 30,000, for example, tonight, I've got this mental note that we need to be mindful of where this might be going overall in cost. Are you able to comment there?
So the budget for the solar garage itself, or more?
No.
Just the extent
if there was a rollout across the city.
The rollout of charging stations across the city. We're trying at this very moment, we have discussed it around this table already, the need for, we're trying to get our mind around the degree of need and the degree of distribution that we therefore need to sponsor to get some of this stuff up and running.
So, Professor, I mean, if you can imagine a sufficient spread of charging stations sort of across southern metropolitan Adelaide, how many would you envisage if there was a common everyday need for these things?
Go on, Craig.
I suppose that's an interesting question in regards to we are trying to encourage and stimulate the uptake of electric vehicles across the board. I suppose the awareness and everything like that is quite premature at the moment. A lot of people think that you need a fast charger in every corner of the street. When you get into the different types of levels of charging of vehicles, it's quite an interesting subject in that regard. When you're looking at fast charging, so with our proposal here, we're looking at two fast charging, DC fast charging sites. That's when you are spending quite large amounts of money to do what we call the DC fast charging. The other area, which is probably something which is more relevant, is what we call destination charging, which is level two charging, which is usually done at about 32 amps, single phase. And that's what we see in a lot of communities where businesses or places of interest are trying to create interest for people to come in and, those places of interest or places of business. So they come and linger and spend. So this is what we're seeing with global studies that businesses now are encouraging, offering free charging, come in. That place of business of activity, it might be somewhere where you're having lunch, a tourist centre where you do an activity, or a place area where you might, a shopping centre for example, where you might go and do your shopping and spend money, or might be a business type thing where you have a meeting. So we see those three areas of charging where you'll have fast charging, which will be a little bit more limited because there's time you'll be able to charge and then go quite quickly. There'll be other areas where you go to a destination and charge and linger. But the main place of charging should be home charging. So,
Okay. Councillor Hull? Professor
Sito,
anything to add there?
The only thing I'd add, have you seen the charging station at... it's not a charging station, the solar garage at Marion? Yeah. It doesn't look anything like that. So the concept that we took at Flinders University, we have an industrial designer, and we actually asked them to spec up a solar garage that was actually modern-looking, attractive. That's going to be placed right next to the Darlington upgrade. It's going to be front and centre on South Road, 70,000 vehicles a day. And all the co-sponsors are going to have their banners, as you can see, their logos on that premium banner. It's supposed to be high-end and really attractive. I know Craig's been around the country, and a lot of them aren't. Flinders University is thinking exactly like yourselves. We've got lots of car parks, and we've actually let out a tender for some solar shades. But when I showed this design to Buildings and Property, they said, yeah, that's what we need, where all the public can see it, right out in front. The stuff at the back can be the normal solar shade type stuff. Perhaps it's cheaper. We haven't fully costed this yet. We're at the very early stages of this project. It's with the engineers at the moment. But it's this futuristic, modern-looking, you know, we're going to have a tech hub in there. So it's for educational purposes as well. So it's probably a bit more than just a solar garage, because we are going to have VIPs and school groups and stuff to learn about transport sustainability and sustainability in general from this as well. Hence the...
Thank you. Upgrade. On the question of cost, Mr. Skull, when you first raised it with me, I thought there was a figure of maybe a $10,000 or $20,000 contribution, and now it's come up to us as a $30,000 ask. So can you tell me about that transformation?
That's correct, Your Worship. When we first had the discussions with Professor Zullo and Craig Norris, we talked about a contribution of $20,000, and we put forward the idea that perhaps this would be a great opportunity for the SAEDB, the two councils on Cooperinga and Marion, to co-contribute. But what they're looking for is a $30,000 contribution from all of the different sponsors to whom they're going. So that's what we put in the report. But the original discussion was $20,000, and we did mould the idea of going to Onkaparinga and putting the Southern Adelaide Economic Development Board brand on the garage.
Okay, Councillor Hutchinson.
Just to clarify, the City of Marion logo will be placed on here as well.
You're still going with questions, Councillor Valescu?
Thank you.
Councillor Appleby? Yeah.
Thank you. Will it just be powered by solar energy? And also, is this something that companies like Tesla are going to do anyway as well?
So given the size, we're envisaging it's about a 20-kilowatt system. And there are going to be batteries there. Mitsubishi's donating a couple of their old IMEV batteries. That's part of the... second life batteries become greenhouse gas neutral. Will it be enough for all the vehicles? It depends how many vehicles we get and all that sort of stuff. We have a commitment to make all the energy that we use from the solar garage green, whether it be solar or from other means. Yeah.
Councillor Bleskin?
Yeah. I'll do the easy one. I'll speak about the university. You can speak. Flinders at Tonsley, we have every year about 300 or 400 engineering students looking for research projects as part of their final year project. The solar garage will be fully instrumented up with the students available to access all that type of recharging data, solar generation data. So some of the research projects we're thinking of is... looking at the energy management, so that's going to be a bit tricky with the solar and the batteries, and also if the batteries have stored energy, can we put that energy back into a building perhaps so it can actually reduce peaks and all that sort of stuff. So I see a number of research projects for all those students happening. Industry and business?
So from the industry and business side, this is modelled off of a project which we have in Okasaki in Japan, which is a similar project, and basically obviously what we're trying to do is collect renewable energy. The renewable energy then charges vehicles, if there's a surplus of supply, then it goes to recycled battery storage, and then what that battery storage is doing is smoothing out peak power loads of a building behind. So that transactional energy is another area we want to have a look at. So So we see from an industry point of view, it's a really good educational and awareness type project, because that's what this is all about. This electrification and EV is very new to everybody. We need to bring it down at ground level and provide education in those areas. So that's where we see this as a great tool to be able to use that for.
Well, there was a request there for the presentation. We have an absolutely packed agenda tonight. We'll probably be here till midnight if we finish everything. But let's run through it quickly because there is a lot of interest out there. So over to you, gentlemen. Are you able to work things or indicate?
Yep.
Is that going to work? Excellent. Let's run through it.
So very quickly. As I very quickly mentioned before, so I've been successful in winning the South Australian Government's grant from the Future Mobility Lab. So Tonsley will have a driverless shuttle bus operating there. The tender went out today to buy one. So this is a driverless shuttle buses are a commercial product now, and we're going to buy one with that grant money. Part of my grant application, I asked two tenants at Tonsley, Siemens and Zen, if they would provide, all these shuttles are fully electric. So as part of my grant application, I asked Siemens and Zen to provide me a renewable energy recharging solution, which they agreed to do. On winning the funding, I was then approached by Craig and Mitsubishi and said, why don't we pool resources, because they always had intentions of a solar garage at Tonsley, why don't we pool our resources and instead of Rocco, you building one for your shuttle, let's build six and make it open to the public. And I said, what a great idea.
So from there, that as you can see on the right-hand side, this is the model we've used in from Japan in Okasaki, which is what we call the MTech Labo. I suppose how that developed is that last year we had our CEO and President from Japan down and we met with the Premier of South Australia, and we talked about obviously South Australia being innovation and technology based. So he welcomed any ideas or project we had, and that's where Masuko-san suggested, why don't we reach out and do this project, which is going forward, is right? So obviously the objective of the project is a sustainable transport solution using those areas of innovation and technology, having charging, the solar generation and battery storage using recycled batteries, giving them a second life. And I suppose we can add there the transactional energy as well. We can see that this is a mock-up of the design, and as Rocco said, we're lucky enough to use the structural engineers to design. And it gives you a bit of an idea that this is what we are trying to do is have something which is, you know, a good-looking project, which is aesthetically looks, you know, pleasing to the eye. It's important that we have it looking that way. Just an overview of the project. In total, what we're looking at is estimating is six charging bays. Of those six charging bays, there'll be two DC fast chargers, and then there'll be another four, which are what we call level two charging stations. Those bays will be timed, so we don't want people to sit there and live in them all day, so they'll have timing situations. On the top of the roof, there'll be the solar PV collecting the renewable energy. In between the two, the six bays, there'll be a section, as Rocco mentioned earlier as well, which is what we're going to call the tech hub. That'll have battery storage in there of the recycled batteries. So obviously we can look at shifting that energy wherever we want. But obviously from an educational point of view, from whether it be primary school, high school, secondary or university students, we see a great area there for obviously industry as well. We can share that with them as well. It'll house the autonomous bus. And the other area we're trying to tick off there is that, especially with the development down there in Tonsley as well, there's going to be high density living. So things like share car we want to use. We've already got some electric vehicles with GoKet dotted around Australia, but we want to bring one to Tonsley as well so we can tick that box as well. There is a big business community going into Tonsley as well, so we want to encourage the uptake of electric vehicles within the business community, but also as a wider area for the council area of Marion and the wider area, provide that service to those people in that community as well.
Mr. Norris, can I just
suggest that you have a bit more of a smiley face on the front of the bus, because that's a pretty neutral expression.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously, the location of this is very important to us, and obviously working with the Renewal SA and the partners that we've been lucky enough, and what we're looking at, this position here is right up the front where the South Road is going to be. So it's behind, on the right hand side, it's taking about those seven car parking bays, much to the disgust of our Mitsubishi people, losing some car parking space, but that'll bring it right up the front near South Road. So we want that obviously to shine at night time, so it'll be lit up so people can drive past it. It'll stick out like a sore thumb in a nice way. So people will look, people eat with their eyes. They want to see it, have a look at it and investigate it and come and learn from it. Correct. Yep. With any project, there comes a cost, and these are some estimated costs of what we've been working up. And I thought it would probably good to, we thought this is a good idea to share some of the cost of, you know, what we're looking at. At the moment, we're just in that first stage, that engineering stage. Obviously, with the cost, we've got some partners behind us. So obviously, with Flinders University and Mitsubishi are certainly right behind it. We've got the support of the South Australian Government and Renew SA that they've tipped in between them about $110,000. So that's already actually been passed through to Flinders Uni, who are administrating the project. And you can see some of our other project partners there as well. And hopefully we'll have City of Marion there too. And you can see where basically some of those contributions sit, the level of those contributions. Some of them are actually cash and in kind as well. So it's probably important to note that as well.
Sorry, I'll just interrupt there very quickly. That the costs and the budget are all indicative. We're still at the very early stages of the project. So we're aiming for $320,000. Will that buy us six bays? I hope so. But if we've got money left over, we'll turn it into 10. If we haven't got enough, we'll turn it into 4. So that's how we're going to. This is not for profit. This is definitely for to get it out there and to let the community use it.
Our stage at the moment, now we've got it out with the structural engineers, so we're just getting that the final designs, and then we can put it out to get a bit of a costing. So, as Rocco mentioned, that's our next stage, so we can see where we sit with the budget, but obviously then we can seek, set it out for tender so we can seek the final pricing and start to move forward.
And questions we've had?
Open to questions.
Councillor Pryor, burning with a question.
Yeah, I'd want to go back to my co-councillor's question about money. This looks like a great opportunity. I think that if we're going to go electric vehicles, then this sort of thing has to happen. What would be nice is a cascading model where you get some funding, implement one charging station, and use that to pay for the next charging station, which then pays for all the other charging stations. I mean, you have a real potential to do this here. I mean, and giving away power for nothing, while I think it's a noble cause, probably doesn't help you with your modelling of demand either, because if you all of a sudden have a paid one down the road, the model's not going to be consistent if you have a free one up the road, I guess. So that concerns me a little bit. So have you ever done any modelling where you charge standard power rates and looking at paybacks and looking at those sorts of things? How long would it take you to generate another charging station?
No, we haven't done that financial modelling. So I think we're so early in the EV cycle that we need to make it as attractive as we can. So it's got a five-year life. It's the next iteration of the solar garage at Tonsley. Will probably be in the basement of the multi-deck car park that will eventually be built there. And that might be a charging model and stuff. But I think as far as EV uptake, a couple of the other partners that we have asked me the same question, but It's not the focus. It's exposure and getting people to use it. If you build it, they will come. So I know what you mean about building the next one, but maybe that's in the next iteration post 5 years. I think we're so early in the picture still, getting people to use it, that we're not charging.
All right. Well, thank you, Professor Zito. Thank you, Mr. Norris, for your presentation and answering all of the questions. I'd invite you to take your place back in the gallery again. Nice. And we can deal with that item now. So, Councillor Hull to move, seconded to Councillor Pryor.
In speaking to it, Mr. Mayor, look, this is stewardship 101 by all the entities involved, and we hopefully will be one of them. I think it's time to actually start having the debate and discussion about equity and availability to the broader community, because as I indicated before, you have to be reasonably wealthy to own an electric car of any description, really, at this point in time. But look, it is what it is at the moment, and this is about stewardship. It's about actually being part of a visionary thing, and I congratulate Mr. Skull on being involved in this and leading the way. I hope that we could be a model council with our council fleet as well, going down the electric pathway. We have a whole corral full of Mitsubishi vehicles here already. We would welcome the opportunity with the appropriate offer to have on a corporate level an electric fleet of vehicles. So this could be the beginning of that. But look, I think we have to be involved in this if we are actually living up to our rhetoric about being innovative and the smart city. There's still signs around. There's one around the corner. We're in the smart city. We really have to walk the talk. We have to be involved in stuff like this. And I think it's really exciting. I know other councils have showed interest in electric cars before. This is getting down the nitty-gritties, really, and showing, demonstrating support and resources to actually bring this about. I do take the point, Mr. Mayor, that this is probably bigger than just electric cars. It's a new way of thinking about transportation. I get that, and I welcome that and appreciate that. So I commend the motion.
Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, agreed with all of that. I think that for the most part, I'd love to see a business model which propagates this sort of thing, as I asked in the questions, because that's really, I mean, if I was going to go and buy an electric car tomorrow that charged at these stations, I would rather have two stations than one free one, but that's maybe my humble perspective. So, but still, if we have no stations, that's worse than one. So I guess you've got to start somewhere, and I think these guys are on the right track, to be honest.
Anyone speaking against? Councillor Blesko? Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Gard?
Yes, I'm very much in favour of the motion, Your Worship. I really feel that we have to make every bold move now to move into the 21st century, and this is a great innovation done by great people, some bright ideas, and we need as many as we can get in our community. I actually see this as not just an expenditure, members, of $30,000 one-off. I think this is the commencement, or has the propensity to be the commencement, of a really tangible relationship with some very, very mindful people in our community. So it's not just about a facility, and it's not just about a bright idea, but it's about what we should be doing. We should be building relationships with people at Flinders and Tonsley in general. This is a most important part of our strategic planning. So I think 10 out of 10 to the motion.
Anyone else speaking against? Councillor Appleby?
Thank you, Worship. Just quickly, I think this will discourage private sector investment in this area, and I don't think that's a good thing. They can't compete when someone's giving something away for free. I share Councillor Velescu's concerns that wealthier people are going to be subsidising the field costs of those who are less well off in our city. I'm concerned about the location, that it's on the boundary, that it won't actually benefit that many people in the city of Marion, and we don't actually know how many residents even have electric cars, so that's another concern.
Well, I'll leave it to the... sorry, Councillor Westwood, you're speaking in favour.
Electric vehicles are inevitable. I think we do need to expose the technology to the public. I can see that some people would think that it's a bit of an extravagance to hand this $30,000 over, where we won't have control and we might not see clearly the final result in our minds, but I can see certainly that it will be of benefit, and we do need to make people aware, and certainly on a main road where it's going to be located, people will be aware. So we just have to step boldly into the future. Thank you.
Anyone else speaking against? Then up to Councillor Hall to close the debate.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, just quickly, I think there has to be a public policy discussion about electric cars, because as I intimated before, Mr. Mayor, they're not paying excise on fuel, they're not contributing to upkeep of our roads like we all are. So there needs to be a much broader discussion about electric vehicles, and that's not too far away, and that'll happen on a national level. So there's lots of access and equity issues with electric cars that we'll work our way through. But this is not what this is all about. This is a research and development project. This is about innovation. It's about stewardship, as I said before, 101. It is about us demonstrating to the community our commitment to the environment. It's about demonstrating the community our commitment to, as a local government, to modern public transport and transportation in general. In terms of affordability, councillor, my co-councillor pointed out just a few moments ago, what was that name again? Pryor. I've had so many come and go, you see. there's cars in China now that are electric cars in China now that are very affordable. In fact, Tesla are now producing a vehicle that is $20,000-$30,000 American. It's only a matter of time before that filters through to us, where it will be affordable. Mind you, in this case, if we were to have staff go and visit the Tonsley precinct, as we would on a reasonably regular basis, our MEEV would be charged up there while the staff are there being part of discussions. Okay, so we've already got an electric car in the fleet that could be charged up there. Now, there are electric cars privately owned around Marion already. There was a woman who came and addressed us from Marino a little while back who's got a Mitsubishi MEEV. So, you know, it's not a totally exclusive situation at the moment. It will improve. But this is about promotion. It's all about the cutting edge stuff. It's all about, you know, what's in it for us. The other thing is, Mr. Mayor, as I said before, the adaptation of that for local government. And I really think Marion has an opportunity here to actually learn a lot from this, apply it. And the other big thing is, as I said before, our fleet. Our fleet has to start going down this track for our commitment.
Councillor, just a bit of advice, that the closing the debate is to respond to the arguments that have been put during the debate, not to have the same speech as the initial speech.
Well,
just for your advice.
I think I've addressed the equity side of it reasonably well, because that's what's come up.
So far so good, but I think you're starting to stray into your initial speech rerun.
I'll give up while I'm ahead then.
Yeah, good idea. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, it's carried by majority, thank you. Now, in terms of the items on the agenda, I'm conscious that we have guests with us in relation to two items. They are the commercial proposal for recreational development and also the Edwardstown Oval redevelopment. Now, I think that the commercial proposal will be a slightly shorter item than Edwardstown. So what I'm suggesting to you, out of consideration for people who have come to be part of the deliberations or contribute to the meeting, is that we deal with the commercial proposal and then we deal with Edwardstown Oval and then we get back into the normal course of the agenda. So with leave of the meeting, if no one objects, we would deal now with the commercial proposal, then Edwardstown Oval, and then we go back to the normal order of business. So if there aren't any objections, that's what we'll do. Now, that would take us to page 94 of the agenda. It's a confidential item, so it would have been emailed to you separately. I'm quite satisfied that the subject matter does touch on the commercial affairs of a business, and so there is a motion suggested to you for this item to be dealt with in confidence. Councillor Telfer moves that it be held in confidence. Councillor Gard seconded. All those in favour? That's all those against? That's carried by majority. So apart from some people who are some staff members who are named in the motion, and an external presenter. Yep, Mr. Hood. I'll have to ask others to leave the room, and I have to say it might be for quite some time, I'm afraid. It's always a bit hard to tell.